So, what if awakening wasn't about escaping life, but what if it was about learning how to live life? Today, we're diving into everyday awakening, practical spirituality for real people navigating real life. Meet Aeon Archer, the visionary founder of Spirit Sync Technologies, where ancient wisdom meets modern innovation. He's a speaker, a shamanic practitioner and transformational coach who helps people reconnect with their soul's GPS and bring sacred awareness into the everyday. From mindfulness in daily routines to energy protection in chaotic times, Aeon is here to show us how to build a spiritual life that actually works in the real world. Before we get started, just a quick shout out to Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And to our audience and our fans and our listeners, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. But you're going to want to stick around till the end because this is going to be a really great episode. Aeon, it's really great to see you. I'm glad you survived your road trip. And tell us about what you just did.
So my partner and I, we have a spiritual wellness retreat down, center down here that we run, and so we decided to move full time to Puerto Vallarta. So about a month ago, we flew to Los Angeles, picked up my car, my dog, drove from Los Angeles to Austin, Texas, where we continued, where we finished consolidating his psychotherapy practice, moving out of the house there, getting rid of 3 bedrooms worth of furniture. And just kind of having an estate sale. And then from there, we have drove to, which we just did this 3 days ago. We left Austin, Texas to drive all the way to Puerto Vallarta with our 3 dogs, a small Kia Forte packed to the brim with luggage, for a 3 day road trip all the way through Mexico. So that was fun.
Oh my gosh, crazy. And this sets the tone for the topic today because it's about how do we survive everyday life and like challenging times like that. Like that's an amazing experience that you guys had. And but at the same time, it's real life and it's challenging.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, in those situations, it's when you're in close quarters with somebody for 10 hours on the road at a time, it can be challenging. You start to feel the resistance, like the little things that they do that irritate you, really irritate you. And so it's like, and it's kind of, coming back from the United States where everything feels really dense there right now, and being back in places where old versions of myself, I could hear those thoughts and those shadow thoughts is what I call them, kind of, trying to play themselves out and pull me back into old behavior. But it was interesting because they're shadows now instead of like solid decisions that I make anymore. And so it was weird because for parts of the drive, I would just kind of be blah. Just in this state of blah, in this state of autopilot, in this state of like not feeling inspired. And I think most people like to feel inspired, but it was like 9 hours of not feeling inspired. And so in that space is like, I started thinking like, is there something wrong with me? What's going on? And I had to stop and just kind of come back into my body consistently multiple times just to be present and to ground myself and not be in this place of disassociation, but in this place of compassionate peace and serenity within myself. And so it was really nice because it's what I'm going to talk about today of how do we do that when we're in these in-between spaces where there's a lot of resistance, where it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel. How do we stay aware and present in our lives in order to move to those places? Because at the end of the day, if we're not present in our lives, we don't know where we're at. If we don't know where we're at, then we have no way of getting to where we're trying to go.
Yeah, I can relate to that so much. It's like being in the void. It's like not seeing the end, not being at the beginning, but being in the middle where there's like it just feels like you said, you're uninspired, you feel numb, you're like disconnected, and then you suddenly go to shit, what's wrong? Right? Like
Yep.
that's
And
a not a fun place to be.
it's like, and then in those moments, it's funny because when before we had planes and locomotives and steam engines, we had to use wind to sail from one, from Europe to the United States. And like during that journey, there would come a point where there would be no wind at all. And they would just be stuck there in this in-between space, like wondering for days on end, wondering when's the wind going to come to push us forward. And that's what it felt like. It felt like I was in that place to where there's like no wind, no end in sight. And it's like just this weird liminal in-between space. And so when we're in that space, what do we do? How do we move ourselves forward? How do we propel ourselves and continue to move in the trajectory that we're creating for ourselves? And I think that's what I really want to dial in on in today.
Yeah. So you say awakening isn't about escaping life, it's about living it. What does that actually mean in real life?
So for me, awakening, my definition of awake is being consciously aware. It is, it's not like this woo-woo word of like you're going to escape your body, you're going to escape your life. It's living your life through your body, through your relationships, through your career, through your job, and being present for those things. Because what I've discovered is when you're present for your relationships change. When I was growing up as a child, all I really wanted was my parents to be present with me, and it would have made all of the difference in the world. And that's what kids want. They want their parents to be present with them, and not to be like an afterthought. My employer wanted me to be present for my job and not just showing up for a paycheck and then leaving. Because my relation, the way I do my job when I'm present and I'm actively engaged in my career, when I'm actively engaged in my life, it just, opportunities start to open up for advancement. People sense that energy of presence because we live in a society now where there are so few people who are present because they're in their phone, they're waiting for their paycheck, they're waiting to get off work so they can do something else, and it's understandable because they're, people aren't really living to follow their passion. And so when we're present, though, we start to identify what those passions are. Because if we don't become present and awake in our lives, we'll never actually know what those things are in order to start to move ourselves towards them.
Yeah, so how do we do that?
So one of the things, first, it's breath. For so many years, I tried to escape my body. Growing up, I had this thing where I didn't want to be me. I didn't like my life. I didn't like my body. I would have done anything else to be anyone other than me. And I did everything in my power for years and years to escape my life. And it's this sense of disassociation. And I was waiting for somebody to come save me and wait for my life to get better. I was hoping that
Me
I'd win the lottery.
too.
I was hoping I would win the lottery. I would meet the perfect partner who would just fix all my problems. And I didn't want to do the work. But what I discovered is when I start to have a healthier relationship with my body, because all of my experience is filtered through my body. Like every there's the sensation of touch, the sensation of taste, of smell, of sight. All of these sensations, these electrical signals, are what create my reality. So if I'm not in my body to begin with, then I have no way to have an effect on the reality that's projecting itself into my mind. And so, and the first step to get into my body, what I have discovered is just acknowledging it. Like, oh, this is my hand. And then I touch my hand. Oh, this is my knee. And then I touch my knee. And I go through this body scan process where this is my foot. I'll touch my foot. Then I'll go to my ankles. Then I'll go to my calves. And what this does is the sensation of touch, with the acknowledgement of placement in the world around me, rewires my mind to be attached to my body. It reprograms my mind to recognize that I'm inside of this vessel and not like somewhere out here just hoping for things to change. And then I pair that with breath. Whenever I'm like, I had to do it a lot on the trip across country to get down here, is whenever I'm feeling that resistance. Like that weird resistance to like just not comfortable in my skin. I take a deep breath. I acknowledge my body and I ground myself in my body. And the moment that I do that, like the tapes stop playing. The chaos, the tapes that just like play the same thing over and over and over and over again, they stop playing because it's in that moment of paying attention to the act of breathing, which engages the body, that turns that tape off. And then I think of something that I appreciate, like whether it be a person, whether it be part of my body that I appreciate, like my heart pumping, the way my brain works, my eyes, I appreciate something. And the moment, then when I breathe out, I'm already in a state of gratitude. And it's in that state of gratitude, when we're living our lives from this perspective of gratitude, like no obstacle becomes too big. And it also, that gratitude becomes the wind in our sail that propels us forward toward the life that we dream of.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you blend ancient wisdom with AI through your spirits and technologies? So that is wild. So what inspired that fusion, and how can that support awakening instead of distracting from it?
Well, I've got a lot of really great ideas, and I'm still working on getting a lot of them out to the public. But so AI is amazing because it has the ability to take all of this information that we aren't aware of and put it and then spit it out into usable data. And so, for example, when I'm working on this application that will go on your watch. And so when you're in a state of meditation, it'll monitor your heart rate. It'll monitor your blood pressure. It'll monitor eventually, it'll have something that will monitor your brain waves. So that way, you can know when you're dropping into this state of brain heart coherence. Because it's in that place of coherence where we can literally reprogram our lives. We can literally change like the reality that we're living in. And that's why, meditation and breath is so important, because when we're breathing, we're actually activating the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is like that super highway of information that goes from your brain into the rest of your body. And when we engage the vagus nerve, it puts us into a state of calm. It takes us out of a state of fight or flight. And it's in that place of surrender that we have the power to actually create real change for ourselves and for the world around us. And it's what's so cool about it is in that place, because our hearts create a magnetic energy around us. Because when you think we've got iron, magnesium, a couple other metals I can't think of off the top of my head right now. Well, all those metals are flowing through our heart as it pumps. And when metals are close to each other, they create a magnetic field. And so that magnetic field, other people can sense that just by being near us. And so when we're in a state of coherence, it's kind of like when you take two tuning forks. If you have a tuning fork here, you hit it. This tuning fork here, which was not hit, will start to hum at the same frequency as this tuning fork. And so my goal is to help people with the technology get into this place of coherence, because it'll be like wildfire. And when enough people are in a state of coherence, our collective reality will shift out of the imbalance that we're experiencing right now.
I was going to say, I would argue that when you're in a state of coherence, that it can be felt from all over the world.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Wow. Could you imagine if the whole entire world was having brain heart coherence?
Well, I believe that we are on our way there. I'm writing a book right now called Fiber Optic Soul: The Science and Spirit of Awakening, which actually talks a lot about that. In my meditations, I see each person as like a node on the Earth's central nervous system. And so the more nodes that are living in coherence, they shine really bright, and it affects all of the other, neurons or the nerve fibers that are connected to them, and it sends that information out to them. And I've seen this firsthand in my life. I struggled with addiction for years, and when I was in active addiction, like whether or not I spoke to people who love me frequently or not, whenever I was in active addiction, I saw all of their lives get worse. Like even if they didn't, if even like even my cousins, like two cousins removed, like their lives got worse. But then when I am in alignment with my purpose, it's like everyone's lives around me improve, and I don't have to do anything, just be in coherence. And so that's the goal, is to get as many people in coherence in their everyday lives as possible. And that all begins with being embodied. It all begins with being present. It all begins with being an active participant in whatever is going on in your life. Because even if you're at a job that you don't like, even if you're at the at line in line at the grocery store and like you really cannot stand the person in front of you, or the store clerk's being rude, like all of those are opportunities to drop into a deeper state of awareness, a deeper state of being. All of those, like just like, everybody, like I said, everybody wants to feel joy. They want to feel happy. They want to feel all the good feelings. But what they don't recognize is by denying themselves the other side of that coin, it actually makes their ability and capacity to feel those feelings shallow. And so when we allow ourselves to feel the depth of all of our experiences, joy, the capacity to experience joy and share joy deepens. The capacity to experience love and share love deepen. And so like I see resistance as a blessing. I see it as a gift it's that sacred fire that actually forces me to be awake on a daily basis. It forces me to acknowledge my boundaries and to start to reframe the container that I've created for myself to be the shape of the container that I dream of.
Right. So when life gets really, really messy, like those emails pile up, the errands you have to run, stress, what does everyday awakening look like in real time?
Grace.
What did you say?
Recognize grace. It looks like
Okay.
grace. It does, life does get messy. I just experienced that. Like, it was so stressful trying to get out of this house over the past month. And, and I was really at
I
my
still can't believe you
capacity.
got there an hour ago and you're on this podcast right now.
I know, right?
But
I
you
know, but then
deserve
I
an
said,
award for that.
it was so cool because as soon as I got here and like I tuned into it, I just kind of dropped into awareness, into a state of being awake and showing up for it regardless. There was a part of me inside that was like, oh, I really, oh, I'd rather not. I'd rather just go crawl in bed. But I feel
I don't
energized
blame you.
to be here and to be participating in this, because this is me creating a new container for myself, allowing myself to expand. And everybody has the
Yes.
capacity to do this. And that's through the difficult decisions. That's through, really, my partner is a busybody and he likes to do a lot of things all the time. And I'm not, I like to kind of go at a much slower pace. And sometimes I have to like remind him that, give yourself some grace, give yourself some space and allow a little bit of wriggle room. And also recognize that we get to set our own boundaries. Like, yeah, there are a lot of emails. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure, but we can create as much space between our obligations that we want. And that sounds challenging because at the end of the day, it's like, well, I got to pay my bills. I got to make enough money to like survive, especially in the United States right now, which is really challenging for a lot of people. But what people don't recognize is in that space, you find the thing, the things that bring you joy. When you're buried by responsibilities, there's no room to like discover yourself. When you're buried by responsibility, there's no wiggle room to start to move towards those things that bring you joy. And when you do the thing that brings you joy, it brings abundance with it because you show up present, you show up aware, you show up awake. And what I've discovered is whenever I do a job and I show up present fully in a complete state of being, I excel at it. And when I excel at it, people want me around. They want me to be my boss. Then they want me to be that boss's boss. It's by showing up, being present, aware, and fully engaged that the abundance starts to flow towards us. But we have to give ourselves the grace and the space to discover what those things are. And that takes a little bit of practice.
Yeah. So what is one simple ritual that anyone listening could use to bring more peace or presence into their daily routine?
So, I mean, when you first wake up in the morning, don't pick up your phone. Fine.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a
That is
tough
a,
one. I
but
struggle
that's
with
the
that.
biggest
I'm
one.
very
That is the,
aware that if I pick up my phone, it's going to give me anxiety and I'm going to like start my day awful, but it's so tempting.
but see, to live a life of awakening, you have to treat yourself as sacred.
Yeah.
And the very first thing you should do when you wake up in the morning is grab a glass of water. Find a place in your house where you sit down every single morning before looking at your phone and breathe for 5 minutes. That's all it takes. Just focusing on your breath and being gentle with yourself. Because a lot of people think like you have to not think when you're meditating or you have to not think when you're in that quiet space. But it's really easy to do when you first wake up in the morning because your mind hasn't got onto the rat wheel yet. And so like you're already in this liminal space between sleep and awake, so the mind's already pretty quiet. And so when you ground, it's amazing what happens when you ground yourself like in that first 5 minutes of the day. Every single thing in that day seems easier. It seems to like slide by. It literally is like the thing that lubricates your life, that makes your decisions and the things that are challenging more easy to take to handle, more easy to tackle. And when I don't do that for myself, everything seems overwhelming and life can be pretty overwhelming as it is. But like, if I don't give myself like that 5 minutes to like be in this space of grace, to like let all my systems boot up and come online, then the rest of my day is just so overwhelming that I feel like I'm constantly trying to catch up. But if I
Right.
check in with myself first thing in the morning for that 5 minutes, grab a glass of water, sit there, pay attention to my breath, be gentle with myself if I can't not think, because we can't not think, thinking happens. It's always happening in the background. The goal is to not attach to what you're thinking about, is to let it slide through you. And what that does is that builds resilience. So that way, when a challenging circumstance comes up later in the day, you've already practiced that resilience of letting it slide by, not attaching to it and then catastrophizing it and then like imagining all the different ways it could go wrong. You know, just deal with what's happening right now. That's what being awake is about. Being awake is dealing with what's right in front of you in this moment, one moment at a time. And not
Yeah.
create, because like, but the thing is, when we imagine scenarios, our brain literally thinks that it's real. It goes through all of the chemical processes as if it's really happening. Now imagine if you have this one thing, you have this one decision you have to make in your life, and you've already thought about 150 different ways it could go wrong. I mean, your brain has literally experienced 150 traumas from one decision.
Crazy, yeah. It's absolutely crazy. So we're living in such energetic, noisy times right now. How do you personally protect your energy without closing your heart?
So this is something that I just recently had to have a conversation with Christopher, who's my partner, about this, because you know he doesn't like to watch the news, but I like to know what's going on in the world. And so I've had to learn, you know, there's a thing called spiritual bypassing. It's where you decide to ignore the realities of the suffering that go on around you and only be in this heightened state of, oh, I'm happy all the time. I'm so spiritual, nothing bad ever happens,
Oh my
you
God,
know.
I don't like watching the news either. So I'm excited to hear your perspective because I sometimes feel like I don't, because it's almost like I don't want to know out of, not out of ignorance, but more out of like what it's going to do to me and how it's going to
Right.
affect my body by knowing and feeling that energy and then not knowing how to fix it.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, when I was younger, I used to cry myself to sleep every night because of the horrors in the world. And the horror, and none of that's changed. There are always going to be horrors in the world. But a sign of a truly spiritually evolved individual is compassion. It's being
Right.
able to be present for all of the suffering, but yes, also all of the joy, because they go hand in hand. Everything exists within the creator, or within the creation, or within divine infinite intelligence. And so there is no th one thing less or more divine than anything else. And it's difficult for us to conceptualize that because we're human beings and there's what right and wrong. But everything exists within the infinite intelligence experiencing itself in all its many different facets. And so when we truly integrate that into who we are and into our understanding of the world, we're able to see anything from this place of absolute compassion. And that's what the world needs more of. It needs people who are present, showing up, awake, and seeing what's going on with absolute compassion. That's what I call living in the 5D. Living in the 5D isn't like disappearing into some other reality. Living in the 5D is being able to hold space for everything without letting it shrink you. And that
Right.
takes practice. That takes practice too. And the first place to practice that is 5 minutes of breathing, first thing before you pick up your phone, because then you've already created that space for yourself. The breath, that's what the breath does. It expands. It allows you to have space and have the capacity to hold the most difficult situations that are going on in the world right now. And then in that space, solutions come. Like the little tiny voice inside of you will say, oh, this is how I can make a difference, even if it's just something really small. Because like every small difference that we make eventually avalanches. Because when I look at, for example, the war in Gaza, that whole situation started because of two of Noah's sons who were kings that didn't get along. And
Right.
it has literally avalanched into this enormous conflict how many thousands of years later? So everything
Crazy.
you do through a place of awareness and from that awakened state has a trickle effect out in ad infinitum into the future. We have no idea like how powerful we are in the smallest decisions that we make on a daily basis.
Yeah. So my next question was about compassion, because you talk about compassion as a healing force. What's one moment where compassion transformed a relationship or situation for you?
Well, I exercise compassion a lot on a daily basis. You know, actually, the first place it made a difference in my life was having compassion for myself. Because I would never have been able to change from being someone who was stuck in the cycle of addiction into someone who's able to sit here and have this conversation with you today if I did not exercise compassion for myself, if I did not give myself grace and I did not forgive myself, and did not, compassion is the act of forgiveness that leads to a deeper state of love, loving ourselves, loving the world as it is without the desire to change it. It's when we try to change the big things that we have no control over that we start to feel powerless, and we get trapped in this cycle of wanting to escape. And the moment we want to escape, then we're no longer embodied. And so, like, that's that reverse effect of that. But when you live from this place of compassion, starting with yourself, it trickles out into everything that you're attached to and everything you perceive and experience. And so the act of compassion really starts with me, with the forgiveness and the love of myself. And then everything else kind of just unfolds from there.
Yeah, so even when you're in that void, were you giving yourself compassion to feel like shit, essentially?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's what I said. Christopher was like trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I'm like, I just feel blah and I'm okay with it. Like, I mean, I feel blah, and there's really, I mean, we're sitting in a car for the next 10 and a half hours. There's not a lot I can do about fixing my blah right now. So I'm just going to be in blah and be okay with it. And then, here we are on the other side of that drive, and I feel amazing. And I'm so happy to be home. I'm looking at the ocean right here in Puerto Vallarta,
Yeah,
and
your
I
energy
feel.
is like super high. I love
Yeah, and I definitely wasn't this like this an hour ago, that's for sure.
it.
I
That's
was
funny.
over it. I was totally over that drive. I was so ready to be home.
That's funny. I can relate to that. I felt like that yesterday. I never watch TV. I don't even have a TV in my space, but I have one in my, I have it put away. So it's like nearby where I live in storage. And yesterday I went and got that TV and I watched pointless random shows for 5 hours straight. And I was just like, whatever, I am doing this today and I don't care.
I can relate to that too. Luckily, I'm out of shows to watch. So, and plus, when I was sitting in Ohio, in the United States, like, there wasn't a lot to do. So, I watched a lot of shows. And, but it is important to recognize that one of the things that we need to do in order to protect ourselves is be careful with what we allow ourselves to consume, because we do have a choice. It's important to know what's going on in the world, but it's difficult now to know the truth of what's really going on in the world, because everyone spins it as a narrative. And so, in order to truly be aware of what's really going on, it takes a lot of work to get to the facts. And that's the problem. And so, finding a reputable news outlet that actually is that will compare the articles is really good. If you're going to watch the news, watch it from both sides of the aisle, so that way you can get a more well-rounded perspective. And you can also, for me, it helps me learn to have compassion for both sides. Regardless of what my opinion is, I can see what's going on from a higher perspective. And in that place of recognizing it from a higher perspective, I actually see what's going on. And so it allows me to move more effectively within the confines of the situation that we find ourselves in right now. And also to find ways to give back to the people who are in need, because of the situation that we're experiencing in the world. But it is nice to check out sometimes, and just, binge watch some Netflix. It's a part of our culture, so there's nothing wrong with it. Just, everything within moderation, for sure.
Nice. Yes. So you often use the phrase sacred leadership. What does that mean? And how can someone lead from soul instead of ego?
So, sacred leadership. So when I say the word sacred, for me, I came to this realization that everything is sacred. The ground I walk on is sacred. If everything exists within divine intelligence or God, and God is sacred, that means that there is nothing in my life, that not even the floor I walk in on, the chair I'm sitting in, that's not sacred. And so, especially for leadership, most leaders, it's a power thing. They like to feel like they're in control. They like to feel like they're in power, and they want more of that power. And that's like, they want more money to be in more power. And so, like, that's not even really leadership to me. Real leadership is recognizing the impact of your decisions on every single person or company or stakeholder that those decisions impact, and doing your best to balance the scale. doing your best to like do the right thing, regardless of whether it's popular or not. And so, I'm working on this keynote talk that really dives in how to use artificial intelligence as a values mirror, for people in leadership, because it works really great for that, where you can go say, hey, listen, we've got this decision that we need to make. How is this in alignment with our company's values? Is this in alignment with how will this affect everybody involved? The people who are buying the product, the people, the shareholders, the stakeholders, the vendors, everybody. And it can give you a solid outline of like, this is how this decision will affect all of these things. And then you find a way to balance the decision to where everybody involved in the decision actually improves, actually comes up, instead of just like making the shareholders money and that's the bottom line. When we live in this place only to make money, that's ego, because ego is afraid. And oftentimes people with a lot of money are afraid of losing their lot of money. People with a lot of power are afraid of losing their power. And so they continue to operate from that place of fear. And when you operate from a place of sacred leadership, you realize that you're just a vessel. You live from this place of embodiment, from this place of being awake, from this place of recognition that you have been blessed with the opportunity to improve people's lives. And that's the end game of sacred leadership.
Yeah, like look at some of the sacred leaders in the world. People pay money just to be in their space.
Right.
They don't have to say a word because you can feel their energy. If you look them in the eye, it's like you transform. They're like living portals and they don't even speak.
Right.
But then you
Because
see
the, and
like
the and...
an ego, you see an ego-led leader and you're in their space and it feels almost like you need to go have a shower and jab axe after. Like seriously.
Totally, 100%. But that's it. Those sacred leaders, they're fully embodied. Every cell in their body is humming with sacred energy. Every cell in their body is at absolute coherence with itself. And so like they're emanating just this beautiful energy that brings everyone around them into coherence. And that's the
Yeah.
goal, is to be in this. That's what being awake is being in a state of coherence with the world, with yourself, with your thoughts, with your beliefs. And really, that all begins with knowing yourself, and knowing yourself starts with knowing your body.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that lights or lampposts, as I like to call them, are strategically placed around the world. Like I believe there's a reason I'm in this city right now where I am because I'm emitting a certain frequency that's helping this area. And without me being here, it would be a little more chaotic, right?
We grid
So
work. I call them human consciousness grid workers, because there are, for without a doubt, I believe also there are souls who've incarnated here to help bring the new Earth consciousness grid online. And
yes.
in my ceremonies, because we do earth medicine ceremonies, we do sacred ceremonies, like in the ceremonies, I've literally seen it. Like, I mean, it's hard to explain, but you know this to be true. And when you know something to be true, so like every part of, I'll get cold chills just talking about it. Every part of me
Yes.
knows this to be true. So I completely agree with you. I like that. I've never heard it called light post, but 100%.
Yeah. And then imagine the world as complete darkness, because that's essentially what the world is, except for these lampposts all strategically placed around the world that's lighting up other people. And I believe that eventually we're going to get to a place where in the new earth, like you talk about, where it's the earth is going to be like lit up.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, and what's cool, I actually talk about this in my book, Fiber Optic Soul Science and Spirit of Awakening. I'm on chapter 7. I got 42,000 words. I've got another 40,000 words to go, but I'm almost there, halfway through it. But I
Nice.
talk about how, each one of our cells, like we are light beings, and they've done measurements scientifically that each one of our cells actually emits biophotons, light. And so the more in coherence we are, the brighter we become. And so I like that is what you're saying is not only metaphysical, but it's scientific. These things are true and real and measurable.
Yeah. Wow. So I guess how can people, for the people out there that are feeling perhaps a little bit lost or disconnected, how can they start aligning with their purpose again?
That's a really good question, because there are times where even when I feel aligned with my purpose, I feel lost or disconnected. It's because like I don't always know what the next step is. And how I'm able, I surrender the results, honestly. I stop working to get somewhere, and I start being to serve. It's all being a life of, for me, it's being a person of service. It's like, how can I make the people's lives around me better? And when I follow that breadcrumb of how can I improve the people's lives around me? How can I build stronger community? How can I have healthier relationships? Like the answers naturally show themselves through synchronicity, through opportunity, through new relationships. We are beings of community. At the end of the day, we are all one soul having 9 billion different experiences. So like the more we can build healthy relationships and build community and be of service to each other, it's another lubricant, like to make our lives better. And so whenever I feel lost, I stop making it about me and I start making it about others.
That's brilliant. I like that. I like that for sure. So, what does the spiritually awakened world look like to you?
Well, it's happening, but I see it coming online. It's weird because it's because just us having this conversation is a more spiritually awakened world. Just having this dialogue and the fact that people will hear this and listen to it, that means that this information is now out there in the ethos. Every time we have a conversation like this, we're upgrading the human consciousness, like collective. And so an awakened world, and the thing is, growth is uncomfortable. Expansion, just like when we're a child and our legs are getting longer, it hurts our calves. Growth is uncomfortable. And there will be a lot of things and a lot of old systems and a lot of old organizations that won't survive this expansion because we are outgrowing them. And so it can look like chaos. But at the same time, this chaos, that's why, I say when we watch the news, not to get lost in the chaos and not to get swept up in the emotion, because this is part of the birthing process of the new world. And so as these old institutions collapse, new, more aligned, more coherent institutions will rise up, as long as we continue to have conversations like these, and as long as people continue to engage in this type of dialogue.
Yeah, for sure. Do you feel like there's a healing crisis going on right now?
Well, what do you mean by crisis?
So I feel like more and more people are waking up and more people are suffering. And the suffering is perhaps being more talked about. But a lot of people who aren't necessarily awake aren't aware that their body is actually just upgrading in a sense.
Right. Because they lack that awareness to see the sacred fire of resistance that's happening, that's part of the upgrade process. When the thing is, when you ignore the fire, you'll get burned. And so the thing is, you have to engage with that process through awareness. That's what being awake is. It's engaging with the process of suffering, because the suffering is asking you to change something. It's asking for something to be left behind. It's asking for an expansion to happen someplace, a relationship to change, a job to change, maybe to move to a different place. It's asking you to become aware of what's going on inside of you, because once you're aware of it, the suffering is optional. There is pain and growth, but if that pain continues to suffer until you become aware of it and change something. And so I think that there's just not enough awareness to, like, that's what's happening for people. People, and that's why, again, going back to what I said, that these conversations are important, because this increases the awareness and it'll shift people's perspective to their pain and turn that suffering from just suffering to pain that they can actually do something with.
Yeah, for sure. So if you could leave our audience with one message to kind of sync them with their soul today, what would that be?
You are already home.
I like that. When I first started healing, and I didn't really understand it, I would always give my power to the healer. And then one day I realized that it was all happening with inside of me. And I was like, that was like a holy shit moment. 'Cause I was like, I am so powerful. That was incredible. Could
That's a
you relate to
that's
that?
yo 100%. I mean, I'm a Reiki practitioner, and so that's the whole goal of Reiki is to get out of my own way. Because I don't have any power, I'm just the conduit. And so, I've had some really amazing Reiki experiences where my favorite part about, giving Reiki to somebody is being able to share with them what I'm experiencing at the end of the session, because I see things, I see visions, and then we'll sit down and we'll have a conversation about it. And it's wild, like how it correlates to what they were experiencing and to what they already know about themselves. It's really it's there's no way to describe what's happening, and there's no science to back up what's happening, but it's two consciousnesses syncing up together. And so it's like when I'm doing Reiki, my ego kind of gets put in a box somewhere, and then I just allow like us, because when we're all connected on a spiritual level, and so what's happening is we're having a soul level conversation up here with each other in a language that we wouldn't understand here, but we understand perfectly there. And that soul level conversation creates images in our mind, and images that oftentimes are hard to describe. But usually, once we come out of the session, we start to try and use metaphor to explain what was happening, because metaphor is the closest thing we can get to speaking that language. And so, yeah, it's really cool. I've had lots of really great experiences like that.
Yeah, amazing. Where can people find out more information about you and what you do and all of the fun things?
Well, I mean, I would love to invite folks to be a part of our spiritual community every Sunday. It's called Merkaba Church. It's not really, we struggle with the word church because there's a lot of resistance to that word, because it's not really the kind of church you would think of. It's more of a spiritual community. We call it Merkaba Temple now, where we do mantra, meditation. We have a talk every week. Like last week's talk was on sacred sexuality, which is a really
Yeah.
interesting topic. And so I would love to invite people to come be a part of that community. It's every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 12. 1 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and everything in between. And
Okay.
you can find that at the link for the service is www.merkabachurch.com.
Okay, and we'll make sure to have that linked in the show notes for everybody as well. So thank you so much for being here and for bringing the energy. Like I said, I would never have believed you if you would have told me now that you just drove 3 days and just do this interview because you're just like bursting with this beautiful energy. I love it.
Thank you.
Yes. And to our audience, thank you guys for tuning in. Do not forget to like and subscribe and check out all of Aeon's amazing things. We're gonna link everything in the show notes and have some compassion for yourself, especially if you're in the void. Until next time, take care, everybody.